Okay, today's daf is Bracha Daf Chav Dalet. We're at the bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Bet at Ba'amineh. We were speaking about tefillin and what may be done with them, and we're going to continue speaking about specific dinim of tefillin. Ba'amineh Rav Yosef Rav Nechunya Rav Yehuda. Is the person allowed to put his tefillin underneath his head when he goes to sleep? Davka, he asks about putting it under his head. However, we assume that putting it underneath his legs when he goes to sleep is definitely a problem because it is a disgrace to them. What's the halacha? Shmuel said that you're allowed to put it underneath your head, even when your wife is sleeping with you. But didn't we learn a challenging Tanaic statement? You're not allowed to put your tefillin underneath your legs when you go to sleep because it's a disgrace. But you're allowed to put them underneath your head. But if your wife was with you, then it's aser. And furthermore, hayam makom shegavua gimel tvachim or nemuchta gimel tvachim muter. But you're allowed to put them a place that is three tvachim above or below your head. So clearly, we see from there of a Tanaic statement that challenges Shmuel's opinion, and Shmuel is not allowed to argue on a Tana because it's an Amora that says that you're not allowed to sleep with your tefillin underneath your head when your wife is there. Tufta de Shmuel, tufta. This is certainly a difficulty for tufta for Shmuel that he's not able to respond to. Even though we thought that this is a difficulty for Shmuel that he's not able to respond to, still the halachas like it. How could that possibly be the case? Because you're doing it to protect your tefillin and the protection that you provide your tefillin by sleeping with it underneath your head is worth the bizayon, the disgrace that you cause them by sleeping with tefillin in your bed that your wife is sleeping in with you. And so where should you put them? Amar Yirmiya ben Kerel Keset. You put them in between the pillow and the sheet. Shelo keneged rosho, but not right underneath your head, just off to the side. But didn't Rabbi Chiya teach you're allowed to put them wrapped up in a hat underneath your head? Right, meaning in a hat underneath your head, but not the tefillin themselves can't be underneath your head. You have to be pushed, shoved to the side of the hat where you're sleeping on the hat, but not that part of the hat that's containing the tefillin themselves. Barkavra entirely bakilta mafik morshe and lebar. So Barkavra would wrap them up in the canopy part of the canopy over his bed, and also push them to the sides so that he wasn't sleeping directly on top of them. Rav Shisha b'Rei Rav Idi manachla shar shifa upare sudra alayu. So he would put them on a bench and put a sudar, a scarf over them. Amar Rav Nuna b'Rei Rav Yosef zivin echada have a kamina kame de Rav Amar li zil ayte tefillin. One time I was in front of Rav Nuna b'Rei Rav, and he said, "Please bring my tefillin." Veshkachinu ben ker lekeset, and I found them underneath his pillow and in between his pillow and his sheet. Shalok and I get rosho, but not opposite where exactly where he sleeps. V'aviyadana deyom tefillah have, and I knew that that was a day that his wife went to the mikvah, meaning that they slept together the previous night. That's what he was trying to indicate, and not clear how he knew that, but he knew that they had slept together the previous night. Like Maruna Allah lemaseh hu de'avin, and the reason why he sent me to go bring him his tefillin, it's not because he needed his tefillin. He wanted me to see that the tefillin were resting there because he knew that I knew, and therefore I would learn halacha from there that he holds like Shmuel, that you're allowed to sleep with the tefillin under your head even when you're sleeping with your wife. Ulag Moran, Bamine Rav Yosef, Rei Rav Nechunya, Rav Yehuda, Shnayim Sheishen, Vemita Achad, Maushi Achzir Panav, Yikra Kriyat Shema, Vezeh Achzir Panav, Yikra Kriyat Shema. Now that we just spoke about things that you're allowed to do, and you are not allowed to do in bed with another person or with your wife, we ask, if you're in bed with your wife or with another person, are you allowed to turn your face away? Are you allowed to turn to the other side and say Kriyat Shema? Why would you have to turn to the other side? Well, there are two problems. One, if you're going to be seeing Erva, they would generally sleep naked. That's kind of what this is referring to. We're not talking about if they're sleeping wearing clothing. They don't really have pajamas. They would just take off their clothing from the day and they would sleep entirely naked. So the issue is, one, you're going to see Erva, you're going to see private areas, and second, you're going to have private areas touching each other, which is another issue. So are you allowed to just turn your backs to each other and then say Kriyat Shema? Amar le'achamar Shmuel afilu ishtoimo. Didn't Shmuel say that even if his wife is with him, he's allowed to say Kriyat Shema? Matki flar of Yosef ishto v'lo mibaya acher. Rav Yosef challenged the Shita. He said, wait a second, Shmuel was suggesting that because that his wife is allowed to, and all the more so, someone else is allowed to, meaning that because we allow his wife, we're going to say that if he's sleeping with anyone else, he's also allowed to turn his back and say Kriyat Shema. Adarav, Ishtin Gufo, Acher Laga Gufo. No, by his wife, he should be allowed to, because that's kigufo, that's what he's used to, but by another person, he's not used to sleeping next to another person naked, and therefore it's going to be a burden, or at least a tremendous distraction. Meaning, we initially tried to say that even Shmuel says that even if his wife is sleeping there, then he's allowed to. And by your wife, you're clearly going to have distracting thoughts. And so, if Shmuel says that by your wife you're allowed to turn your back and say Kriyat Shema, all the more so by anyone else. And Rabbi Yosef says, no, it's the opposite. By your wife, or you're used to sleeping next to you, you're not going to have distracting thoughts. However, by anyone else, you will have distracting thoughts. Meitive. We have two contradictory Tanaic statements. Right? The first statement says that your two people sleeping next to each other are allowed to just turn to the opposite side and say Kriyat Shema. The other one who said that people who are sleeping in bed with the members of their house are not allowed to say Kriyat Shema, elam ken etatalim mafasek benem, unless they had a garment that was separating between them. Vimayu b'nei banav. Oh, but if the children of his house were ketanim, were little kids, then it would be allowed. Right? We have two contradictory brightas, right? One which said that you are allowed to read Kriyat Shema with someone else in your bed, and one that says you are not allowed to read Kriyat Shema with someone else in your bed. However, if you hold, like Rav Yosef's shita, that he says, Davka, your wife you're allowed to, but by no one else you're allowed to, then it's fine, I have no problem. Why? Because just say that the Brayta that says it's Usher is talking about with anyone else, and the Brayta says it's Mutter is talking about with your wife, and we don't actually have a contradictory between Braytas at all. Elal Shmuel Kashi, but clearly it's going to be difficult for Shmuel, because Shmuel holds your wife and all the more so anyone else. So if everything is Mutter, then how do we have a Brayta that says that it's Usher? There's no way to reconcile it according to the Shmuel Shita. Amar Shmuel Rav Yosef Minicha? Wait, is Rav Yosef's Shita work out that well? But didn't we have a third braita that says you're pashut not supposed to say Kriyat Shema with members of your family in the bed unless there's a talit separating between you? So we have a third braita that said it's aser. Let's see Rav Yosef respond to that braita. What does he do with that one? So you just have to hold that Rav Yosef, that in Achinami, there's a machloket here between Tanayim. Rav Yosef paskins like one of them, which says that Ishto is Motor, the other one is Asir. And I also believe that it's a machloket Tanayim, and I paskin like the other one. Meaning, I'm not being cholik. I'm not arguing on a Tana, says Shmuel, but there's clearly a dispute amongst Tanayim, and I'm paskin like one of them, and Rav Yosef is paskin like the other one. He's not, his sheet doesn't work out any better than mine does. You're allowed to just turn your back and say Kriyat Shema, but still the behinds are touching. Well, this is seemingly a support for Rav Huna's Shita, who believes that the backside of the body is not considered Erva. Meaning, either way, you're not looking at it, but we're not just concerned about looking at it. We're concerned about the Makom Erva, the private area is touching. So this is clearly a Raya for those who hold that the backside is not a private area. Maybe we can bring a support for Rav Huna's Shita. A woman is allowed to separate Chala when she's naked, and generally separating chala, or not generally, always, when you separate chala, you have to make a bracha. So that's a clear riot. So, one second. Because she's able to cover up her private areas in the way that she sits by the ground. Because she's able to cover them up properly, she's allowed to make the bracha. And, avalo ha'ish. But a man is not allowed to, because he's not able to fully cover up his private areas in the ground while he's sitting down. But this is clearly a raya for Rav Huna, because she's covering the front part of her private areas, but she's definitely not covering the back side of her private areas, in which case it seems like that's not an issue for her to make a bracha when her backside is revealed, and so it must not be considered erva, because you wouldn't be able to make a bracha with erva revealed. No, actually, you should just understand it. This isn't actually a good raya for Rav Huna. Just understand that she was sitting in a way that both her front and her back were covered up by the ground. So we said that if his children in the household were young, then it's allowed. V'ad kama, what's considered young? Until what age are they no longer allowed to? So for a female child, it's 3 years in one day, and for a male child, it's 9 years in one day. And those who say that it's for a female, it's 11 years in one day, and for a male, it is 12 years in one day, basically into their mitzvah year. Idi ad kidei shadaim nichoni v'sarech tzimeach. right? And they both agree that that it's essentially until the development of breasts or pubic hair. However, we don't have an exact the 12 or 11 or 12 years is an estimate roughly around what time that happens. But the physical signs of maturity are what we're waiting for in order to establish that they are growing up. Amar le Rav Kana, Rav Ashi, Hatam Amar Rav Afagav the Tuv to the Shmuel Lechta Kavte. Right, the Shmuel. We said even though there was difficulty, that we challenged the Shmuel's opinion and we couldn't respond to it in the previous Amud, we still said the halach is lakim. Hachamai. Ha. So what about here, by the case of saying Kriyat Shema with your wife in bed with you, right? Is the halacha also like Shmuel here? I'm related to him, Atu Kulu Bechara Machta Machtinu? Were all these inyanim stitched together with one, weaved together in one matter? Meaning, why are you even bringing it in, right? That's a totally different case. Right? Because we paskin like him there, we're going to paskin like him here. Rather, when we said we paskin like Shmuel, we paskin like Shmuel, we didn't say we paskin like Shmuel, we don't paskin like Shmuel. Amar Rav Mari L'Rav Papa. Se'ar yote b'bigdo mahu. What if some pubic hair is going out of the clothes? What's the is there an issue there? Can we say Kriyat Shema? Is that considered erva? Karle sar sar. So he said, no, hair is hair, but it's not an issue. Only the actual makom erva is going to be an issue. Amarle Rav Mari L'Rav Papa sar. Amar Yitzchak tefach beisha erva. Okay, so the following number of statements each kind of need their own shear, but we're just going to go over them very quickly. So Rav Yitzchak says as follows, right? A revealed part of a woman's body, the size of a tefach that's normally covered, that is considered erva. It's considered nakedness. Lemai, for what purposes is it considered erva? What do you mean it's erva? For what purposes? What nafkamina? Are you saying it's erva, so you're not allowed to look at it? But didn't Rav Shesha teach that it's interesting when we're talking about the jewelry that you're allowed to go out into a public domain with on Shabbat, without being concerned of carrying, we taught two different types of jewelry together. Jewelry that's shown on the outside of the body and jewelry that's only on the inside of the body. Basically, something they would put around a woman so she wouldn't sleep with anyone. So why would we link those two pieces of jewelry together when we taught the Mishnah about going out into a public domain on Shabbat and what you're allowed to be wearing? To tell you that, it was to indicate to you, to kind of hint to you that there's a connection between the jewelry that covers private areas and the jewelry that covers public areas. Just like you're not allowed to look at a private area, you're not allowed to look at a public area if your intention is, meaning a revealed area, if your intention is to benefit from it. As his statement was, anyone who looks at even the pinky of a woman and he intends to benefit from her, he's staring at the pinky of a woman with the intention of getting benefit from his looking at this woman, right? It's as if he's looking at her actual makom erva. I mean, it doesn't matter. You're not allowed to look at, it's not just, it doesn't matter about an entire tefach of revealed skin of woman. You're not allowed to look at any part of it if that's your kavanah, if that's your intention. Ela beishto l'kriyat shema. No, rather, what do we teach that tefach beisha erva was? It is a tefach of revealed skin of a woman in a place that she generally covers it of his wife, which he's generally allowed to, who he's generally allowed to look at, but is not allowed to look at while he's saying Kriyat Shema. That's what we said, that's what we meant when we said Tefach Be'isha Erva. That you cannot look at a Tefach, a revealed skin of your wife while you're saying Kriyat Shema. Furthermore, Amar of Chizda, Shok Be'isha Erva. I'm intentionally not translating Shok right now, but the Shok of a woman is considered Erva, it's nakedness. Shenemar Gali Shok of Rinaro, reveal your Shok and pass through the water. And immediately afterward, it refers to revealing of your nakedness. Meaning it says, reveal your shok. And then it says, you revealed your nakedness and you're going to see your disgrace. So that means that revealing your shok is revealing your nakedness. But what is a shok exactly? So that's subject to tremendous debate that has a very significant halachic nafkaminas in terms of Hilchot tsniut and erva, and basically the clothing that women have to wear because of it. So if shok is like the Chazon Ish believes, it's the entirety of the leg, then the skirt has to cover really down to the ankles, because any tefach of that leg is going to be a problem to be revealed. But if the shok is how many of the poskim understand it, to be the top half, meaning from the knee and up, then only the knee has to be covered by the skirt, but the bottom half of the leg does not have to be covered, because that doesn't constitute erva, because it's not the shok. Amar Rav Shmuel kol isha erva. The voice of a woman is erva. Now the Ritva is of the opinion. It's interesting when we make that statement, we don't think about that. That just sounds like her speaking voice. So the Ritva clarifies that this is actually talking about the singing voice of a woman. However, that's not universally agreed upon, but lehalacha, we go by the Ritva, we're talking about hearing a woman sing it constitutes erva. Shneimar ki kolech arev umarech. Right? So this is a very complimentary statement by Shlomo Melech in Shir HaShirim to the sound of a woman's voice. And because he used a woman's voice as a source of yofi, as beauty, to compliment it, what he's suggesting is a woman's voice has kind of the ability to produce hirhurim. It is objectively something that produces these thoughts, and that is a particularly beautiful part of a woman, and therefore you're not allowed to listen to a woman sing. Am Rav Sheshet, Sa'ar Be'isha Erva. And Rav Sheshet says that the hair of a woman constitutes Erva. Shneemar, Sa'araich Ke'eder Izim. Now, the pasuk, which says that your hair is like a flock of goats, does not sound particularly complimentary, but when you read it in the pasuk, it's clear that Shlomo Melech means this as a tremendous compliment. And so, essentially, the parts of a woman's body or her voice, which are clearly complimented for their beauty, we say these things are erva, these things are objectively beautiful areas of a woman's body that we're not allowed to look at, that men are not allowed to look at. I saw Rebbe once hang up his tefillin. Right? We learned in a braita that someone who hangs up his tefillin, his life will be hanged. Dorshi chamurot, and those who interpret the secret of the Torah, amru vayuchay chateluyum lechaminegid zotzvilah zotzvilah, and that which is written that your life will be hanging before you, that's talking about someone who hangs up his tefillin. Lokash avertu rabbi ketitza. That's not difficult. What you saw Rebbe do was hanging it up by the box. That's perfectly fine with the box on top. What you're not allowed to do is hang it up by the straps and have the box dangling underneath. Vibayt ema. Alternatively, you could say the following: loshan avertu loshan ketitza aser. Both by the straps and the box are aser. V'chitala Rebbe b'ksita tala. And when Rebbe hung it up in the bag, he put the tefillin in the bag and he hung up the bag. Yachim ayla memra. So what was he trying to teach me? Oh, I saw Rebbe Chanina said, oh, I saw Rebbe hang up the tefillin. What's the problem? He was hanging it in the bag. Ma'ud tema. So what was he coming to teach you? Tivai hanacha kesefer Torah kamash malan. Maybe you thought you were supposed to prop it up in a much more appropriate, proper, honorable way, like a sefer Torah, where it can't hang at all, but kamash malan, that you don't need to. I'm Rebbe Chanina and Yirei Tiet Rebbe Shegiek v'piek v'didatesh v'rak. Well, I saw Rebbe during davening, and he burped, and he yawned, and he sneezed, and he spat. Mishavas were big though, and he was using his clothing, or he was removing bugs from his clothing. Ava loyam et atef, but he would not put the talis back on. He would not put his talit back on if it fell off in the middle. Chum faek. And when he would yawn, he would put his hand over his chin so that you couldn't see him yawn. And we have a Tanaic statement that caused a difficulty for all that which we said that Rebbe did during his davening. Anyone who makes his voice audible during davening has very little faith, because he thinks like, what, Kodesh Baruch Hu needs me to speak up so he can hear me? And if you raise your voice in davening, you're like a Navi Sheker, as we saw by Eliyahu at Har Carmel, where he mocked the Navi Sheker, and he said, oh, maybe if you raise your voice, maybe God can't hear you. Right? Megahek mufahek. And if you yawn or you belch, or raise a megase ruach, that's very haughty. Hamitatesh mitzvah siman ra. And if you sneeze during davening, it's a bad sign. Low for him. V'yeshomim nikar shu mechor. And alternatively, it's a sign that you're disgusted, that your tefillah is disgusting. And someone who spits during davening is like he spits before the king. I understand that what you taught me about someone who yawns or someone who belches in the middle of davening, that's not difficulty just because I saw Rebbe do it. Kanlo onso kanlo ritzono. Meaning what the Mishnah, what the Braita was talking about is you shouldn't do it voluntarily. But Rebbe was doing it involuntarily. It just happened. Right? He didn't try to do it. Lamtatish and mitatish. Kasha. But that which is written that sneezing is a bad sign, and I know that Rebbe sneezed, that's very, very difficult, right? Because there's only one way to sneeze. It's involuntarily. No, actually, it's not difficulty. It's not a difficulty that which we taught in the Braita, and that's what we saw Rebbe do. Kan milamala, kan milamata. Right? What the Braita was talking about is a sneeze from down low. What does that mean? Flatulence. But what we saw Rebbe do was a sneeze from above, sneezing out of his nose. Damara zera hamilta ivla li be ravamnuna vitakila li kol kule talmude. Right? That which I heard, this was like the best thing I ever heard. This was like the most geschmack Torah that I ever heard. Hamidadesh b'tfilato siman yachelo. Right? That someone who sneezes up and from his nose during davening, that's a very nice sign for him. K'shem shosim lo nachar ruach melamata, kachosim lo nachar ruach melamata. Meaning generally when you sneeze, right, you have that itch and you really need to get it out. Once you finally sneeze, it feels very, very good. And so when you sneeze during davening, it's a sign like just like you had an itch and it was satisfied in this world by sneezing, so too in heaven, they're also about to satisfy an itch for you. Rather, the spitting that I saw Rebbe do is difficult, given that the Braita told me that you're not allowed to spit, that it's disrespectful. Rok arok nami no kasha. No, it's also not difficult. Maybe he just holds like Rav Yehuda, right? Damar of Yehuda, I omit b'tefila, and his damen lo rok mobila b'talito. Right, so that if you're davening and you have to spit, right, you're allowed to just spit into your talit, right, and you don't and instead of spitting on the ground or holding it in. V'im talit na'ehu mobila b'avrakasutu. Right, and if it's a very nice talit, then you could spit into your head covering. Ravina avakak achore de Rav Ashi nizdamen lo rok p'tika patke la achore amar patke la achore. Right, so Ravina was standing behind. Was Haim Rav Ashi, and he had the spit, so he spit behind him. Amar Lelo Savar Mar Lahad Rav Yehuda, Mavila Barba Kazuto. Doesn't Mar hold that you're allowed to just spit into your head covering? Amar Le Ana Nina Dati. I'm very, very sensitive, and I knew that I wouldn't be able to focus properly if I spit into my clothing, and I knew that I just had spit in my clothing while I was davening. Right, someone who makes his voice audible during davening has very little faith. We're only talking about if you're able to properly focus and have the proper kavana when you're saying it quietly. But if you're not able to have the proper kavana while you're saying it quietly, then you're allowed to do it out loud. That's only when you're davening alone. Because when you're davening with the tzibur, you're not allowed to say it out loud because that's going to bother other people in the tzibur. Right, so Rav Abba was avoiding Rav Yehuda when Rav Abba wanted to make Aliyah to Israel. Because Rav Yehuda believed that anyone who moves out of Bavel into Eretz Yisrael is over in a mitzvah aseh, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said that you're going to Bavel and you're going to stay there until I bring you out. So he was avoiding him because he was about to move to Israel and he didn't want to run into Rav Yehuda. I want to hear his Torah one more time, but I don't want to run into him. So I'm going to go to the Beit Midrash and I'm going to hide in the back. He's not going to see me. And then I'm going to leave and then I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael. Right? And when he went there, he found the Tana who taught the following teaching in front of Rav Yehuda. Right? If you're davening and you feel that you have to, that you have flatulence. So what do? Well, you wait until the smell dissipates, and then you continue davening. Alternatively, there are those who thought that if you have to flatulate, what do? Is you distance yourself 4 amot, and then you flatulate, and then you wait for the smell to dissipate, and then you go back to that place and daven. So even if the smell dissipates, you don't want to daven in the exact place. And then you say the following bracha, or the following tefillah. He said, match of the universe. Yetzartanu nikavim nikavim chalim chalim. You made us full of holes and orifices. And you know that we have plenty of disgrace in this world, in our lives. And when we die, we're going to be eaten by bugs and by worms. So basically, what are you saying here? He's saying that you know that you did something inappropriate, but you're asking for mercy. You're like, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you made me this way. I have to take care of what I have to take care of. And so please just have mercy on me, because you know that, you know, my life is hard, my life is difficult, and there's a lot of suffering in this world, and, you know, we're going to be eaten by bugs in the next world, so please just have rachamim on me. Meaning, it's what you say to Kadosh Baruch Hu when you know you did something inappropriate, but you want him to have mercy on you, that you said the following tefillah. Right? And then you continue from the place that you left off. And Rabbi Abba said, if I only would have come to hear this matter, it would have been enough. Meaning, granted, I did come to hear Rabbi Yehuda for the last time before I moved to Babel, but if I only would have come for this teaching, it would have been enough, right? That way, I would have been satisfied. If you're sleeping, again, you're sleeping naked, completely under the cover, but you can't lift your head out of the cover, say Kriyat Shema, because it's so cold, and that's what's keeping you warm, right? So you have to just basically press the blanket up against your neck to make a separation between your head and your makom erva, your private area, and then you say Kriyat Shema v'yeshamim alibo. Alternatively, you should press it against your heart. There's those who say press it against your heart. But, okay, well, according to the first opinion that you press to your neck, then your heart is going to see your makom erva. Basically, there's going to be no separation between your heart and your makom erva, right? Which is an issue to say Kriyat Shema that way. Kasavar libo roe ta erva mutter. No, the Tanakamba must be of the opinion that your heart is allowed to see your makom erva. That should and you're allowed to say Kriyat Shema anyway. That's a subject to a machloket. If you're walking, Rabbi Yochanan said, if you're walking through a dirty alleyway with excrement, then you just put your hand over your mouth and then you say Kriyat Shema. If Rabbi Yochanan would have told me that directly, now he's just hearing it as a quote, but even if Rabbi Yochanan would have told me that directly, I wouldn't have listened to him. Rabbi Yochanan said, that when you're walking in a dirty alleyway, you can put your hand over your mouth and say Kriyat Shema. If Rabbi Shimon Ben Levi would have told me that directly to my face, I wouldn't have listened to him. Wait, did Rav Huna really hold that way, that you're allowed to just cover up your mouth and say Kriyat Shema in a dirty alleyway? Talmud Chacham is not allowed to stand in a filthy place, because there's no way he's standing there and not thinking about Torah. And you can't have Hirhur Torah, you can't have thoughts about Torah in such a dirty, disgusting place. All the more so, you can't verbalize the words of Kriyat Shema. Lokasha kan omed kan b'malach. That's down difficult. He said you can't stand there. But if you're just walking by, that's fine. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. But did Rabbi Yochanan really say this, that you're allowed to say Kriyat Shema in a dirty alleyway? Amar Rabba Babar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabba Babar Chana said that Rabbi Yochanan said, v'chol makom mutar la'arher b'divrei Torah chutz b'beit ha'mirchatz b'beit ha'kiseh, that you're allowed to think about Torah anywhere except for a bathhouse and a bathroom, right? And so if you can't think about Torah in a bathroom, so kal v'chomer, you can't say words of Torah like Kriyat Shema in a disgusting place. And if you want to say, oh yeah, the pshat by Rabbi Yochanan must also be, that's when you're standing and that's when you're walking. Ain't he? Can you really say that? That can't be. Because one time Rabbi Abba was walking behind Rabbi Yochanan, Havakakari Kriyat Shema, and he was saying Kriyat Shema, Kimatim Bevod Adonot Ishtik. And when he came to the filthy alleyway, he was silent. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Leichan Ahadar. And then once he passed by the alleyway, he asked Rabbi Yochanan, hey, where should I restart? Do I go back to the beginning, or would I go from where I picked up from? Amar Le, Im Shahita, Kedei Ligmor, Et Kula, Chozel Rosh. If you waited the amount of time it would have taken to finish the entire tefillah, you go back to the beginning. Hachik Amar Le, Ladidi, Lo Svir, Li, Ladid Chad, Svir Lecha, Im Shahita, Kedei Ligmor, Et Kula, Chozel Rosh. Meaning, doesn't that show that because Rabbi Yochanan did not protest to him stopping Kriyat Shema in the middle and waiting till he was out of the filthy alleyway, that means that he believes that you have to stop Kriyat Shema in the middle and wait till he's out of the filthy alleyway. He says, no, what Rabbi Yochanan was saying was like, okay, and according to my opinion, by the way, you could have just continued. But I get it, you have your own opinion. And according to your opinion, that you're not allowed to continue in a filthy alleyway, this is the deen. If you could have finished the entire tefillah in the meantime, then you go to the beginning. But if you couldn't have finished the entire tefillah, then you pick up where you left off. Tanakh Avdid Rav Huna, Tanakh Avdid Rav Chizda. There's one bright that's taught according to the Rav Huna, and a bright that's taught according to the Chizda. Tanakh Avdid Rav Huna. Right, the price is taught in accordance with Rav Chizda says, if you're walking through a filthy alleyway, you can put your hand in your mouth and say Kriyat Shema. That was bright in accordance with Rav Huna. The bright in accordance with Rav Chizda says as follows: Hayam alachim vodim tonafod lo yikra Kriyat Shema v'lo od elasha imay akoreh ba'oposik. Right? That if you're walking through a filthy alleyway, you're not allowed to say Kriyat Shema, and if you're already saying Kriyat Shema, you have to stop.
Lo pasak mayim. What happens if it didn't stop? Amar miyasha bar bread. Rabbi Shua ben Levi alav katav omer. So about him, the pasuk says, "V'gamani netati lehem chukim lo tovim mashbatim lo yichu bahem." Right, and I also gave to them laws that were not good and laws that they will not live by. Meaning, I gave them laws that will eventually cause them to sin because this person had to say kriyat shema, which is a law, something you had to do, but it caused him to sin because he ended up saying it in a filthy place. So that's about what the pasuk was talking about when he says that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us laws that will ultimately bring about our sin. Rabbi Asi Amar, having Moshe Havon Mechavle Shav. So Rabbi Asi says, no, about him, the pasuk is written that he's sinning for no reason, that he's doing an avon, he's doing a thing for absolutely no reason. I mean, when you give in to a terrible desire, okay, so there's a reason that you're made that way and you gave in. But this is just foolish. Why would you ever commit such a transgression? Ravada Barava Amar Mehacha Kidavar Hashem Pisa. So Ravada Barava said, no, this is the pasuk that should be read about him. He disgraced the word of God. He was saying the word of God by saying Torah, by saying Kriyat Shema, and he disgraced it. V'im pasak mascharo. But if you did stop, what's your reward? Amar Abayu Alav Katav Omer, about him, the pasuk says, Ubedavar Ase Tarichu Yamim. For this matter, you will have lengthy days.